Afternoons with Andy Marr on SEN.
Oh, and it's lovely to be here, folks. We love a Friday. We love a Friday no matter where we are and what we're doing. I hope you do love them as much as we do around here. Joy to have you with us this Friday afternoon. What better way to kick it off than with the one and only Adam Cooney, who is in the studio. He was filling in for Kane Corns this morning on SENSA and being highly controversial on a matter of legitimate football topics, which is most unlike him. We don't want him doing any of that for the next hour on this particular program.
Done.
We want him being a little silly, a little irreverent, and occasionally talk a bit of footy with him, which we'll do, and you can too. 1-300-736-736. The boys from Mars Bar back after two. We'll find out where the money's going throughout the day. Mark Hayes to talk some golf around one of the players has been done and dusted. A couple of Aussies, well, most of them are in the hunt. Aaron Baddeley, the only one that's really going to have to struggle, work very, very hard to make the cut on the weekend. There's still a bit of work to be done by all of them, obviously, but the other four are in pretty good nick going into round two. Bianca Chatfield's going to join us. Huge week in the AFLW, her program, of course, on the Nine Network. And at some stage, and I'm going the early crow here, I'm going the very, very early crow. At some stage in the program today, we're going to throw the lines open. Not your favourite TV show, because that's been done a million times before, and not even the best TV show, because that's been done before. But you need to cast a very critical eye over what you hold dear to yourself when I ask this question. Has there ever been made the perfect TV show? Has there ever been the perfect TV show? Because I think I might be watching it. I think I may have started watching it last night. I'm four episodes in. Don't laugh. I'm four episodes in to Afterlife, the new Ricky Gervais show. I think it may be the perfect TV show. We're going to ask you the question a bit later on. Get involved. There's a load to look forward to throughout the afternoon. How are you, Adam Cooney?
Just take a listen to this song. Just for a little bit longer. I mean,
I don't know. I can't even understand what she's saying.
This is where we're at, Andy, as a society.
What was she saying?
That's Ariana Grande. Yeah. That's a new one.
What's she singing about?
Titled "Break Up With Your Girlfriend Because I'm Bored."
Is everything all right at home?
Well, not really. When my 7-year-old daughter, when I'm taking her to school, and she's just bopping along to Ariana in the background, "Break Up With Your Girlfriend Because I'm Bored," and then the next line, "You can hit it in the morning like it's yours." And my 7-year-old daughter's singing that in the back of the car. Like, what?
All right.
Where do we go?
Let's leap straight into this. There's a lot of stuff that I want to talk to you about, but let's leap straight. We're
debuting.
We are piloting a segment here.
A rip-off segment.
Yes. We're ripping it off from a popular podcast from over in the United States. And it operates under the guise on that podcast of Parent Corner.
So Bill Simmons, is it?
Yeah, Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal, once every week, once they've done their, talking about odds and the NFL and all the rest of it, they lament their inability to parent very well.
Yep. So As do we.
And so we're going to do it. We don't know what to call it. That's the only, we can't call it Parent Corner.
I've got the perfect name for it.
No, I don't think you have.
Daddy Issues.
What? You can't call it Daddy Issues.
What do you mean?
That's creepy.
Are we not daddies?
I'm not a daddy. I'm a dad. I'm not anyone's daddy.
So your girls never call you daddy. Daddy?
I don't think they do.
Yeah, they do.
I don't think they do. If you,
I am, quickly. And you will be.
So
do your children call you daddy? They call me papa. Maybe papa issues, but daddy issues.
No, we want mums to be involved in this as well. I don't want it to be just about dads. I want it to be about parents.
No, we want to open it up to both genders.
Yeah.
We certainly do want to do that. But we are dads, and we are daddies.
That is true.
And we have issues with our children.
Just yes or no. 0433981116 is a title along these lines called daddy issues. Is it a little creepy? Yes or no? 0433981116. I say yes. Adam Cooney says no.
Well, that's because it's the way your mind interprets the words, Andy. And you go straight to Filth Town.
I don't go to Filth Town. I don't like Filth Town. I don't dwell in Filth Town. I've never visited Filth Town, and I don't like Filth Town. It's funny you should mention that because my kids, I've got three girls who are 10, 8, and 5. And about 2 years ago, the two older ones they got little CD players, and they were upstairs singing a song when I went up there to do something.
Oh, no, the Wiggles or the High Five?
No, well, they'd moved past that, unfortunately. It's a song by somebody called Ellie Goulding, who I don't know.
Fabulous.
And the song is Love Me Like You Do.
Right. Which sounds nice, a romantic sort of type.
Yeah, of course it is. Love me like you do, Lolo, love me like you do.
That's nice.
Touch me like you do, okay. Touch me like you do.
All right.
What are you waiting for? Mate.
I'll tell you what we're waiting
for.
They're
6 and 8 years old.
Turn 18.
I can't let them listen to that anymore. I go downstairs and I say, is he aware of the music that these girls are listening to and the words that they're singing upstairs?
I think that one is from 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, I've never seen that.
Now,
movie.
The mistake you probably made was sitting down as a family watching that all together. That's probably happen. Where they got the song in their head.
That did not happen.
Filth Town.
Should we, as parents, do we have to let our kids go with this stuff?
Well, I don't...
What do you do? Where do you draw the line on this stuff?
We can't censor everything, but there's got to be a limit. I mean, if my 7-year-old is singing Ariana Grande and she's talking about that, she just wants a bit of fun. Here it is. What are you waiting for?
Well, I'm waiting for you to turn 25. That's what I'm waiting for. All right? That's what I'm waiting for.
I know.
I'm waiting for you to be a grown adult who lives in your own house, pays your own bills, and is a mature human being, not a 10-year-old or a young teenager, which is the case with you.
7-year-old.
Oh, 7-year-old. Oh, jeez.
7-year-old singing about breaking up with your girlfriend because she's bored. She's willing to just wreck a relationship to start with because she's bored and then obviously follow on in the morning.
1-300-736-736. If you've got these sorts of issues and you've dealt with them at home, please help us here because I'm pretty much unfortunately, I'm black and white. I'm not 50 Shades of Grey at all when it comes to this sort of stuff. Okay. I am, unfortunately, a little black and white. If I hear lyrics like fading in, coming out of the mouth of my 6-year-old daughter, fading in, fading out, on the edge of paradise, every inch of your skin is a holy grail I've got to find, I've got an issue with that. I've got an issue with her singing that song.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am with you. Hopefully, they don't know what they're actually singing about. That's the one saving grace.
That is true.
I mean, we were worried about Eminem. Eminem lyrics were getting banned back in the day because young boys, I think, was promoting violence and all sorts. But, I mean, I think we should have a national ban on Ariana Grande. Well, cancel her visa.
I don't.
Because my 7-year-old, she not going to her concert.
No, I'm not against that at all. Crazy. Any other issues you want? I'd like to know how people think Parent Corner or what we need to call it.
Yeah, daddy issues.
No, not daddy issues.
Okay.
We're having a bit of issue with the SMS, but the text machine, by the looks of it, I think it's trying to catch up with Sam McClure's program. There's still heaps of stuff coming through from about 2 hours ago.
Scoops obviously hit a nerve before he left the building. Isn't he? Scoopy boy.
I think he has.
And he's out of here, too.
Daryl's in Mitcham and has jumped on the line. 1-300-736-736. How have you dealt with your kids who are way too young to be singing lyrics, the type of which Adam Cooney and my daughters are singing? And it could be your sons as well. God knows what they're up to. Daz, have you had to confront this sort of stuff at home?
I guess I started off confronting it right from the word go. As a parent, I decided what I was, you know, what kind of parent I was going to be. And I'm not making it up as I go along. In the sense that I'm not reacting to what other parents do or what other kids get away with or the pressures coming. You know, my son doesn't come home and say, well, other kids can do this, so I should be allowed to. It's like, you know, you've got one job, raise that kid.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't let them, like when it comes to the music versus video games versus movies, it's all the same. It's our job to protect our kids. We don't let them watch horror movies because it's going to mess them up in the head and give them nightmares and keep them awake. We don't let them play games where they're you know, brutality and and shooting and torture and all this sort of stuff on the computer because of the same thing. Error we don't again. Let them listen to the lyrics like what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Darryl.
It's your job. Yeah. I mean, man up as a father, man up as a woman up as a mother and
parent
do
up.
Your job.
Parent up.
Parent up. Maybe that's what we need to call our show. Parent up.
There it is.
It's time to upskill our parenting.
Parent up. Parent up is the name of this segment. Thank you, Darryl and Mitchell. This is gold.
Very good.
We've got there. Hey, Darryl, because you're the first one to kick it off, we've got a weekend double pass to the Melbourne F1 Grand Prix this weekend. So Saturday, Sunday access coming your way, Darryl.
So there you go. I've got one.
Parent up. I love it.
I've got a parent up, which happened over the summer.
We have many more calls here. Do you want to hang on to your...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fire the calls away.
Let's whip through a couple of these calls and then you give me your second one, please. Excellent. I knew this segment was going to be just a winner. Ian's in Broadford. Ian, tell us about your rules at home. How do you handle this sort of stuff?
I just want to go with your last caller. Yeah, he's right on the money. You've just got to pair it up, man.
Don't you need a parent up? I like this.
So it's
this is it.
I've got to turn the radio off now when I'm taking the kids to school, or is it? It's so it'd be Gary and Tim.
Can I just go?
Yeah, I had an instant where remember the Kings of Leon song, "Sex on Fire."
Yep.
Yeah, well, let it come on the radio, and I had the kids singing "Socks on Fire."
Because I've got a playlist, like the old man playlist, that if you sit in my car with me, unfortunately, you get subjected to.
Yep.
And this will give away a little bit of the type of music that I like, but it's quite eclectic. But there's a Mumford and Sons songs in there that drops the F-bomb routinely in that song.
Ah, yes.
And I have to say, muck it up. I sing over the top of it, muck it up.
Well, they don't know that. They pretend that they don't hear it, do they?
I just don't. Maybe I should just sort of fast forward, like, go past that song.
Yeah, well, there's one that you don't want them to hear. It's Sheck Wes and Mo Bamba, which my 11-year-old seems to think that he's into that. So I don't let him listen to that one.
He has no idea what it's about?
No idea.
Perry's in Port Melbourne.
Thinks he's cool.
I know Perry's got a... He's done this. He's done the hard yards before you and I, Coons, and he's done a very, very good job. I know this for a fact. Good afternoon to you, Perry.
G'day, boys. Yeah, I'm just coming from the grandparents' view now, but... I was sitting down, babysitting the grandkids, and they're watching MTV.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And fair dinkum, virtually sex acts and singing and oh, Jesus. Maybe I'm getting too old for this, but
no, you're
I can't
not.
Believe what I'm looking at.
You're not. It's real sort of soft grade pornography type stuff on MTV these days.
Was it like that when... Thanks, Perry. Was it like that when we were kids? I don't remember clips being like that.
I don't think it was that sexualised. Have you seen the one with Miley
Cyrus? Knock on Wood. The girl who sung Knock on Wood.
Yeah.
She had a bit of a... a bit of a, what's her name, Janet Jackson moment in that.
I was going to say, why are you cupping your hand like that?
Because I have to do this every now and again. What was her name? She had a bit where it was... during the course of her dancing in that, it started to kind of rise up a little bit.
Yeah. Bobble and a slip, was it?
I can't remember the name of her, but you'll know. Somebody will remember. If the text machine was about 3 hours quicker, we'd get some response to it.
We're going to get some ripping stuff come through at about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Brett's in. KB will be having his head will be coming off his shoulders when he sees this.
He's an Ariana Grande fan for sure, KB.
Of course he would be. Brett's in Geelong. How have you dealt with this, Brett?
Afternoon, boys. Love your show.
Good on you. How's Brett, how's Parent Up going? Is Parent Up a winner, do you reckon, this segment?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
because my girls have grown up and married, but I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, a big SEN listener like myself, and he said he had his 6-year-old daughter in the back of the car, and the Sexyland app came on and started singing that. Take me there.
Oh, I did.
Jeez. Dad? Can we go Sexyland?
Hey, Brett, my kids have sung that too. They have. They have jingled up with Sexyland. What's your other parent up issue that you wanted to deal with? You?
No.
Oh, no, not you, Brett. No, thanks for joining. I tell you what, I've got a copy of the new 2019 AFL record season guide for you, Brett. No, you, Adam Cooney. I was looking right at you.
The problem with yours is when your Sexyland packages arrive at the front door.
Hey, good luck to the good people at Sexyland, and terrific to have them on board. But yep. I'm yet to step foot inside a Sexyland store.
I'm sniffing a new sponsorship out of this one. Parent Up, brought to you by Sexyland.
Can you imagine? Go on. What was your other bit? So you have another bit?
Well, my Parent Up was an issue that we faced during summer.
Yep. I'll get to you in a minute, Steve. Don't go anywhere.
With our 7-year-old, again, Evie. She's an adventurer.
Mm.
So, and if you don't have kids, you won't understand the magnitude of panic that we actually went through when this occurred. So she was at our place with... Or do we need to get to a break? Because
no,
this story goes for a couple of minutes.
How long? A couple of minutes? Right. Hold that thought. We'll get to it after the break. But before we do, Steve's in Melton. How do you deal with all this sort of stuff, Steve-o?
Oh, well, first of all, Girls on Film, have you seen that film clip? That's soft porn. It's great.
Yeah, Duran Duran. it was actually. Yeah, you're right.
The jelly wrestling and all that. But I've got a rule with kids. They're allowed to swear as long as they can put it in context. If they're just being vulgar, then that's wrong. But if they're using it like, oh, I want to...
Okay, yeah. No, we don't need an example, Steve, on air. But
We don't need...
Well, that's very mature of you.
None of my children swear. I've never... My boys... just about to turn 11, never heard him say a swear word in his life. Not once. It's rare, isn't it?
Right, we've got your second parent. I love Parent Up.
Parent Up.
I like the segment title.
I need a Parent Up because...
All right, we're going to hear more about this on the other side of that. You still got Lance Franklin, by the way, as the best player in the competition. You save all your good stuff for SENSA when you do Brecky over there.
Well, you know, the people of my native land, they get the best of me.
You're going to explain that to us at some stage before we say goodbye to you this afternoon.
Okay.
Just a joy to have you lot with us and a joy to have Robot Building Supplies and Sunbank Solar on board. Adam Cooney in the studio, Parent Up. I think it's just gone. It's gone absolutely cocoa bananas. I think it's fair to suggest that this is a segment that is here to stay.
It's broken the text line.
We need, if there's any of the tech gurus around the place, we need them to come in and have a look at the old machine. She's not really firing on all cylinders at the moment.
No, firing on two cylinders because it just keeps repeating the same two text messages over and over, and they're for Scoopy Boy, not us.
Give me your... Indeed, they keep coming through. Give me your second Parent Up before we start getting into some of the media issues of the day, please.
Okay. So our 7-year-old Evie, who's quite adventurous, she had a friend over who's a couple of years older in grade 6. So she's... nearly 12 years old.
Yep.
It was about 5:30 in the afternoon.
She kept very unusual dynamic, this. But
she asked me about 4 or 5 times if we could go to the lolly shop, which is in the suburb over in Williamstown, which is probably a couple of K away from my house. And she asked me 3 or 4 times. I said, no chance. And she said, okay, can we go to the park then? So the two of them. And I said, and the park is 200 metres.
What, without you, just on their own?
The end of my street.
Yeah.
She's 12, the other girl.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, yeah, she's responsible. Everything's okay here. So you can go to the park for half an hour and then come back because we've got to go out. So it was about 6 o'clock on the dot and the girls didn't come back. So Hayley said, can you go down to the park and grab them and then bring them home? So I got in the car because I'm too lazy to walk the couple hundred metres down the road. Got to the park, nowhere to be seen.
Oh, my God. Girls. Oh, my God.
So... panic set in immediately.
Oh, no.
I wasn't calm. I was stressed right away. Oh, I rang Hayley from the end of the park, and she's not good with this sort of stuff. I rang her. I said, "Babe, the girls aren't here." And she said, "You're joking." I said, "No, the girls aren't here. I can't find them anywhere." I asked a guy at the park. He said, "I haven't seen them. Didn't see them at all." So I'm thinking they haven't even made it.
They're gone to the lolly
shop. To the park. This is Valentine's Day.
Right.
So, and the night before...
I'm feeling sick in the stomach.
The night before, I watched a documentary called Abducted in Plain Sight.
The next door neighbour.
It's the sick...
Oh, I've got to see this.
One of the sickest documentaries you will ever see. So, front of mind, as soon as they weren't at the park, I thought, well, they've been kidnapped. And we sparked a search. So we wrote on the Facebook page. We've got a street Facebook page. So we had 5 or 6 cars out straight away looking for the two girls. I was asking anyone that I saw in the street. I was driving block after block. My son was riding around the streets. Not one person had caught sight of them anywhere. So, and I'm thinking it's Valentine's Day. I just bought her a teddy bear. I gave it to her at the end of the day after I picked her up from school. And it was about 15 minutes had gone by. We couldn't find them. No one had sighted them anywhere. In my head, I'm thinking, I actually got to the point where I said to myself, I'm glad I've given her that bear so she knows that I love it.
Mate, I feel sick.
That's where I was at.
Yeah.
And because the feeling of driving around trying to find your little daughter after watching a documentary about someone being abducted, I just thought, well, there was no possible explanation for it whatsoever. So we called the police. And then they came to our place. This is about 25 minutes of not being able to find them. The police have came to our house. Given Hayley had to give a description of the girls.
Oh my God.
And then it was about 35 minutes, and I was just driving around, and I drove another lap at the top of the street, and then saw them, found them both, just cruising along, walking along the top of the street as if nothing had happened. So, and I was. We were pretty upset at that stage, but we found them, so they were safe. So we gave them a big hug, sat them down, tried to explain what they'd done, and wanted to get the story about what had happened. So they said, so the 12-year-old and Evie, they said, well, we went to go to the park, and there was a strange man there who looked scary. So we went to go to another park, which was another couple of hundred metres down the road. And while we were on our way there, we found $10 on the ground. So we thought we'd go to the lolly shop, which is a couple of kilometres away along a main road. You've got to go under a train station, through the train station and across the other side of the road. And then the police were still there at that stage. So the police sat them down and spoke to them about what they should do next time. Don't do that.
Yeah, go on. You got 8 seconds.
Why?
Because we're going to get to the news headlines.
Oh, well, and then the rest of the story.
Well, can you finish the story after this?
I can, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the end of the story after this. So I'm feeling sick in the stomach about this story. So the police sit down, just finishing this off,
The police sat them down, said, look, explained what could have happened to them and that it was a good news story and they were very lucky. And then about an hour and a half later, Evie came up to Hayley. Mummy, I've got something to tell you. We didn't find the $10 on the ground. We took the $10 out of my piggy bank. They planned the trip.
Oh, my God. So this is not Evie's doing. It's not Evie's doing.
I'm hoping it's not Evie's doing. Because if it is, that's pure.
It's not.
That's pure evil at 7 years old.
No, it's not. It's, I think, the influence of the 12-year-olds.
So they planned the trip to Snowballs. As soon as they got out of the house, they went for it. Didn't go to the park, straight to the lolly shop.
Oh, my God.
And when they saw me, ditched the lollies. Because they had a couple in their pocket, ditched them so they wouldn't get found out.
Well, now I've gone on a real story arc here. Oof. I was feeling sick in the stomach for you. Now I'm just angry with the 12-year-old. I don't know what's going on. This is the Subway Lunch Hour. Fall in love with lunch all over again at Subway. 19 fresh new ingredients at participating restaurants, robot building supplies. Robots got it. Sunbank Solar, the experts in solar. Call now, Sunbank Solar. Go to mysunbank.com.au. Okay. I think pairing up, tick, we'll go with this. Maybe we won't do half an hour on it. But
we had to just start with a bang.
I think it's good. Yep. I like it a lot. Can I put to you, and I don't want to talk too many serious things, and you've got your 5 things that you never want to see again after a week of outrage that we've had in the lead up to the
this.
We need the footy to start, right?
Murray's meltdowns it is.
No, that's unfair.
The 5 things that you've melted down.
It's unfair to put it on me, but
it's true.
I want to put to you, I've had to think about this knowing you were coming on today, that with the new rules, the 8 new rules that are in play.
Nine.
Had the kick-in rule in its current guise been around when you were at your absolute best, there would have been very few players I would rather have the ball in the hand of for a kick-out than A. Cooney.
Oh, what a nice thing to say.
Circa 2000. What did you win the Brownlow? 2008.
Yep.
You just exploding out of there, seeing it in front of you, zigzagging through would-be tacklers, you could routinely get that footy out to the 50 before and then launch in another 60. You would have been an absolute menace at that part of the game, particularly knowing full well that you get a stat for the kick-in. You would have been very keen to do it.
I would have hit the top speed on my GPS just getting the ball out of the bucket, a la Joey Montagna.
Do you agree, though, that you would have been this could have suited you to a T?
Well, the extra 10 metres that the man has to go back off the mark certainly would have suited me in terms of pace when both of my legs work properly. But I very rarely used to take the kickouts because we had Lindsay Gilbey back there.
I understand, but he was a super boot. But he would be a beautiful kick anywhere but outside of the square before. But now, I would put to you that, with all due respect to the great L. Gilbey, that you would be even more explosive and dynamic in that role.
Well, it would have been a great option. And plus, if you're getting tagged, if you've got someone sitting right on you, and they've got to start at least 10 metres away from you. And plus, you know you're going to get one kick for it, and you might be able to just release the shackles a little bit. Maybe we'll see that a bit more.
Yeah, I hope we do.
Players who are getting sat on, just to get their hands on the footy, get them into the game and a bit more space. But it's one thing to run flat out with the footy. You've got to make good decisions with it as well, or else he's coming back straight over your
head. Well, you did that. You weren't a butcher.
No, I was a little bit later on.
When you were winning Brownlow medals, you were very much a lovely user of the football. Last one before we get to a break, and then the five things you never want to see again on the other side of it. The CEOs and the coaches had their annual meeting before the season launch with the AFL yesterday, and there were several things discussed. One of them was that the pre-season is too busy. There's too much stuff. There's you know, camps and academy meetings and JLT and AFLX. There's too much being crammed into this pre-season.
Players.
Yep. And for the game. I think they've got to declutter. The clubs are very, very keen to see their players removed of some of the extracurricular stuff that exists. Not that it shouldn't be part of their, part of what sits in front of them annually, but maybe it needs to be moved to another part of the year. AFLX is definitely in the conversation as part of that. Where would you move AFLX if you had to find an alternate place for it? If it had to be moved out of the preseason, but you still wanted to persist with AFLX, you thought it was worthwhile.
I was going to say to the rubbish bin.
Thank you. Well, that's my preferred answer too. But
I don't think they'll play it next year.
You don't?
No. Well, you wouldn't say it was a resounding success.
Well, I would. No, they spun it.
And we've since found out about the players breaking curfew the night before.
No, I've missed this.
Well, the bus was supposed to pick the players up after the dinner at 10 p.m. and apparently I read on the news websites, that it was 6 hours late.
I beg your pardon?
So they've been out on the tear, a few of the players.
That's an issue.
Before AFLX.
That's an issue for pairing up.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's an issue for Gill.
Are you seriously saying you wouldn't be surprised if AFLX was scrapped?
No, I don't think it works. I don't think it hasn't captured the imagination of the public at all. Mm. The only reason they'll keep it is because it's played on a rectangular pitch and it's easier to grow it internationally.
Which is complete malarkey.
Okay.
If you ask me.
Well, I'm with you.
But I'll be well and truly long gone before this is ever proven one way or the other.
It's just not entertaining enough, AFLX, and it should be scrap it. I'm happy to keep the two JLT games because I think you need a couple, if you're from the player's point of view, to get the miles in the legs.
And I'm sure the AFL get a heap of dough out of JLT, so they want their money.
Yep, they will. In terms of some of the stuff that the camps and the days that the players do in the pre-season, there's a community camp that's maybe 3 or 4 days that you have to tick off, which is a real pain
from a player's perspective. Yeah, so they'd never say that when they were doing it.
No, never. You've got to toe the party line, but it is a real pain when you have to go on those community camps.
Okay.
So scrap them, or maybe you'd need some engagement with the community. We know that. There's a certain amount of days, clinics that you have to do throughout the season.
Yeah.
So tick them off. Maybe you make a community a day out to the community. There's a country day that you have to, which you might spend four and a half hours in a bus going out to a regional area, and you do a couple of clinics and then you go 4.5 hours back.
Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to send 6 players to one area, 6 to another, 4 to another, and spend a couple of nights?
Yeah, they do.
I like the concept, the sort of the theory behind that is a lovely theory. You know, get out and give people in the regions who might not otherwise be able to get close access to the players, give them a chance, you know.
But, it is a great idea from our perspective, but as a player's perspective,
I can understand that.
All they want to do really is prepare themselves for the season to play footy. And all this extra stuff can be a bit of a burden.
No, I would see.
No one's going to say that. No player would ever say that.
Well, bravo to you, sir, for saying it.
Well, I'm not a player. I used to say it a lot to the coaches.
But no one listened.
The people used to organise those days.
Let's get a break out of the way because I'm looking forward to this. I think this week's a tough week because you're waiting for Thursday night to roll around, and the preseason's full of a bit of this as well. But the last week, you get a bit antsy about a few things.
Yeah, a little bit. Unless
I know you don't, because you don't care about anything. But
game 3 tonight, and then game 4 back in Melbourne on Sunday.
Oh, there's a lot of Melbourne Storm last night. There's a lot of good stuff going on, but I'm just talking about footy. I'm just talking about with footy people.
Footy!
You know, people get a bit up in arms about a few things now and then.
We love our footy.
And you don't want to see it happen anymore. So you are going to tell us the 5 things you never want to see again. And that's what we're calling it. We're not calling it the alternate thing.
Well, that doesn't really fit with my narrative.
Oh, well, what is your narrative?
Murray's meltdown.
All right, we'll do that after this. Now the texts. Somebody's obviously tidied something up out the back there, Coons, and the texts are now starting to catch up. So we're starting to get feedback.
We're starting to get some feedback about Sexyland.
A lot of feedback about Sexyland. Pairing up.
Pairing up.
Amy Stewart was the singer of Knock, Knock, Knock on Wood, who had the slight malfunction. And hey, boys.
I'd love to get that on camera.
I've had to hide the Kevin Bloody Wilson collection from my son. Yeah. He's loved it since he was eight. 8-year-olds shouldn't be. They shouldn't be listening to Kevin Bloody Wilson, should they?
Probably just listen to it on their iPads and YouTube when you're not around anyway, don't they?
That's probably true. Righto, it's been a week where people have got, you know, a bit cranky about a few things on the way through. Don't just look at me.
What?
Because you're going to attribute things to me that aren't attributable to me. But you've come up, well, I don't know what you want to call it. I thought you were coming up with the top five things that you never want to see discussed again.
Well, it's just things.
Is that it or not?
It's more Murray's meltdown, so things that have happened that really defy belief.
Okay, so it is kind of, we're both on the same page here.
We are, slightly.
You just don't want to hear people talk about this stuff anymore.
I just wanted to throw you under the bus.
Thank you.
Yeah, coming in at number five, I think I've only got four, so it might be number five, it might be number four. I'm not sure. I haven't double-checked my list. It's been a big morning because I have been filling in for the Olympic flame.
Understand.
We know that. So this is a disturbing story come out of Adelaide where a man was denied entry to the Alma Tavern for having a mullet.
Is there audio of that or not?
Yeah, there is.
An Adelaide tradie's proud, flowing locks have seen him refused entry to a popular pub. The dress code enforced despite the hair-raising history of the venue's owners.
For tradie Daniel Stone, it's business at the front, but no party at the back, at least not at the Alma Tavern, where he found himself in a hairy situation on Sunday afternoon.
The guy straight away was like, we have a bit of a situation here. Next minute, another security guard appears and he's like, oh, thongs? Okay, mullet. Sorry, mate, not going to happen.
The pub's owners include Mark Rusciutto and Taylor Walker. Both crows were famous for their mullets, and yet the dress code specifically rules them out.
Is it un-Australian? Yes. Yes, it is. It's 100% un-Australian.
It's not.
Mark Rusciutto.
That's unbelievable.
And Tex Walker.
That's unbelievable.
What the hypocrisy.
That's true.
From Tex. And also, two of the greater mullets.
Suddenly, I've got no idea what this segment is, but I love it anyway.
You've come across.
Right.
You've melted down about the grand final time.
I have.
Numerous occasions.
No, I haven't.
You have?
I have not. I said yesterday, given the fact that the propensity for football to be played under lights now, and there's probably more games under lights than under sunlight, well, it actually makes some sense to play the ultimate game under lights, doesn't it?
Well,
that's what I said yesterday.
Now,
but I'm happy with a 2:30. I'm happy with it. Good on him.
You're happy with it?
Yeah, bloody oath.
What about the dog's jumper?
Well, you know how I feel about that.
It looked. What did you
think about it?
I said it resembled slightly the female reproductive system. Little eggs just slattered around the jumper.
What about the piece in the? Have you got some audio to play about this?
No.
What about the piece in the Herald Sun today? I'm reading it. The Western Bulldogs four-inspired jumper may have polarised fans, but it's flying off the shelves.
Flying off the shelves.
More than 100 jumpers were pre-ordered in the 24 hours since the Bulldogs announced the distinctive jumper. Now, listen, flying off the shelves is when Beck Judd puts out a bikini line on Instagram, available at Myers, and within 2 hours, bang, sold out, you can't get another one. Flying off the shelves is the announcement that the new Apple phone is going to be available and people queue up for 4 days and within an hour it's sold out. You can't get one.
Just iPhone will do.
What did I say?
Apple phone.
It's Apple phone. That's how old I am.
See, I told you this would get you fired up.
Mate, when I have a garage sale, I've moved units quicker than they're moving the 100. Yeah. That is a trickle, mate. Well, and that is a devastating result if they've only sold 100 in the first 24 hours.
I told you I'd get you fired up. But this just, off the back of it, this... A disturbing tweet exchange between you and I. I'm sensing a midlife type crisis for you, and then you quote tweeted me. Imagine not thinking this was a complete pox on the game. I didn't write back, and then you went again. Well, you fired back again, so I got you sucked in, and I said, what thrills me the most about this whole scenario is that you replied 2 hours ago, still so worked up about it that you went the double reply to me again. And then you fired back with,
I'm an old dog with a well-chewed bone, which I thought really overstepped the mark.
Speaking of dogs, really? your pack dog followers on Twitter then just pounced on me. It was a green light to just shower me with abuse.
So they should with you. The old dog with chewed bone.
And Jeff Lord, or whatever your name is. Not Jeff Lord, some bloke on Twitter. Good on you. Have a nice day.
All right.
What else?
So
is that it?
This is the one that possibly disturbed me the most. This was a report on the 5 o'clock news. This is like prime time news. Mm-hmm. It's Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, I feel like she chose her own name, and pretty much I wanted. I looked up names, and I saw Storm, and I really liked that. But I wanted her to have an IE at the end of her name, like me, Kylie and Stormy. So it was that at first, and I would just call when I was pregnant. I used to call her Stormy when I would talk to her in my belly. And it just always felt right. I had one more name that I liked. I had two names that I honestly liked better than Stormy. But when I had her, I felt like she chose her own name. And I just couldn't imagine any other name other than Stormy.
That was on the news.
That was on the 5 o'clock news.
What channel?
So it was like a 40, I don't know, one of the FM devil radio stations.
They should shut that radio station
down. It was 40. They played the whole audio of why Kylie Jenner named her kid Stormy. Like anyone gives.
Oh, my God. That was stick a needle in my eyeball and make it in.
But that's what kids, that's what they're looking up to.
What is going on?
These days. That's what we've got to look forward to in our future.
That is arguably the dumbest
She wanted to IE.
Thing I've ever heard.
She liked the name Stormy, but she wanted the IE on the end, like, because she was, like, totally had, like, Kylie with, like, IE on the end of her name, too.
Are there truly people who are interested in what she just had to say?
That would have had, that's probably in the millions of views on YouTube now.
And people are, that's great. Like, wow. People are interested in that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they.
Mate, stop the planet. Let me get off. Seriously. Now's the time to disembark.
Youngest billionaire ever. She's just been named. Billionaire.
Wait, what does she do?
She's a billionaire.
But what'd she do?
She's made a line of makeup.
Right.
But Kim was obviously the original. She was made famous.
Deary me.
For some exploits, which really kicked the family into superstardom.
No. All of that stuff.
Video with Ray J.
May we never talk about any of that again.
Well, I realise the irony of bringing that up. Thanks, when we don't want to hear talk about it ever again, but I feel like I'm worried as a father today.
Oh, my God. Pairing up, I love it. And listen to this. Pairing up, great segment. There you go. Off the text.
The text is working now.
I've loved this hour. I like you, despite you setting your pack dogs on me on Twitter.
Abducted in plain sight. That's your homework this week, and we're going to review it next week.
Excellent.
We'll review it.
And we'll go with pairing up again next week.
Pairing up.
I love it.